Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning here at Next Level Church. My name is Joseph McMurray, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Next Level. One of my favorite movie series is the Bourne series. You know, Jason Bourne, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy, the Bourne Ultimatum, the Bourne Legacy, and finally, Jason Bourne. The storyline, the actors, the action sequences, the explosions, it's all great. I really enjoy these movies. So maybe you can relate either with this movie or with another situation entirely, but here's what happens for me when I watch these movies, especially when I see them for the first time. When I realize that the movie is over and that the credits are about to roll, I feel a little bit disappointed. I'm not disappointed because the movie wasn't good, and I'm not disappointed because I thought the story should have ended differently. I'm disappointed because I want more. On more than one occasion, I've sat there when the movie was over, and I thought, I wish there was something more. We experience this same feeling in lots of situations, don't we? Whether it's at the end of a movie or at the end of a book, it could be our response to a sporting event like, gosh, I just wish there was a little bit more time. Even to the end of a conversation with a parent or a friend or someone we love. In many situations, we find ourselves asking, isn't there something more? Have you ever been in a position where you wanted something more? What about when it comes to worship, or even what you think of when you think of worship? For a lot of us, when we hear the word worship, we immediately think of a genre of music or a place we go, like this church building. For some of us, when we hear this word, different images and thoughts pop into our minds. We've probably heard someone say, there's more to worship than music, or there's more to worship than emotion. But what does that really mean? Obviously, music fits in there somewhere. We've just finished singing songs of worship together, even this morning. No matter how much we enjoy singing together, and no matter how much we get out of studying the Bible together, it's likely that we could walk away from this experience or any other like it asking, is there something more when it comes to worship? It's easy to be comfortable in the routine that we call worship, and yet we leave wishing there was something more. We might walk out of church on Sunday morning asking questions like, why wasn't the fellowship more engaging? Or why wasn't the music better or more entertaining? Or why wasn't the message relevant to me? Why don't I feel something more? Followers of Jesus are trying every day to live, quote unquote, the right way. Yet for many of us, it seems dry and empty. What if the way we worship could change that? Last week, Pastor Clay began this series by talking about a few things that worship is not and a few things that worship is. And if you haven't had a chance, I want to encourage you to go back and hear that message. Watch it online. Jump on our website, nextlevelchurch.org, and just click on the button at the top that says Watch on Demand. Over the next 2 weeks, today and next week, we're going to take a fresh look at not only what it means to worship, but how we might get that something more when we worship God with our lives. Today, I want to share with you what I believe are four elements for a life of worship. Now, if you don't remember anything else I say, if you're going to go ahead and check out, don't miss this. The engaged worshiper doesn't just pursue God at church on Sundays. The engaged worshiper pursues God in the everyday. This morning, we're going to jump around to several passages of Scripture as we investigate these elements for a life of worship. The first element that I want you to see is the element of praise. Some of us have been around long enough that praise has sort of lost its meaning. We're like, yeah, praise God, woohoo! Every situation, praise God. But what the Scripture shows us in multiple places is that our praise is not meant to be casual. I want you to think for a moment about your most admired celebrity. It could be an actor or an actress. It could be a musical artist, an athlete. If I was to walk out on this stage and say, please welcome our special guest, and then I said the name of your most admired celebrity, you'd be elated. You might be unable to control yourselves. It would be pandemonium. But to walk out on the stage and say, hey, right now in this very room, you are in the presence of Almighty God. We're like, yeah, cool. I like him. And certainly, I don't think you should scream and pee your pants because you're so excited to be in the presence of God. But an engaged worshiper, what we find in Scripture, an engaged worshiper is bursting with praise. This element of praise, it's not reserved for 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning or 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. It's available to you at all times and in all situations. I want you to listen as I read from Scripture how the psalmist describes one who is bursting with praise. These passages that I'm going to read, you can find them in Psalm 145 through 150. Now, I'm not going to read the entire Psalms, but just the first couple of verses of each of these Psalms. Listen to Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist writes, I will exalt you, my God and my King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2 says, praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Psalm 147, verse 1, praise the Lord. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. Psalm 148 begins with a list of things that praise God. And then verse 5 says, let every created thing praise the Lord. For he issued his command and they came into being. Psalm 149 says, praise the Lord, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. And finally, Psalm 150 begins again with a list of ways to praise God with instruments. And then in verse 6, it says, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. We move forward to the New Testament in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. Luke records these words, Luke 19, beginning in verse 37. It says, when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Here's another one, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. It says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Last week, Clay read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 that says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable act of service. Hebrews 13 agrees and says, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are sacrifices that please God. What I want you to see as I have read all these passages is that an engaged worshiper incorporates the element of praise into every facet of life, not just singing songs, but praising God in the everyday, in the situations in which we find ourselves. So, how can you begin to incorporate praise into the things you do every day? Think about it. How can you incorporate praise, recognizing God's blessings in your life? How can you incorporate praise into your everyday? The second element that I want you to see is the element of surrender. A lot of images pop into my head when I think about surrender. If you've ever watched a war movie, You see soldiers surrender by laying down their weapons and raising their hands. There might even be a white flag that gets waved. If you've ever played paintball, I don't spend a whole lot of time playing paintball, but I've played. And what happens when you get hit by a paintball? You immediately raise your gun and say, "I'm out, I'm out." Why? Here's why. Because it hurts. Please don't shoot me again. I surrender. For me, the most precious picture of surrender, especially since I am a dad, is the picture of a child raising his or her arms, looking up at their mommy or daddy and saying, "Pick me up, because I'm helpless without you." Do you know that for me, when I'm engaged in a worship service and I'm moved to the point, caught up in a song of worship, and I raise my arms to the Father, I see myself as a helpless child raising his arms to his daddy. Because without him, I'm helpless. There's another aspect of surrender, which is submission to his authority. See, as an engaged worshiper, we not only surrender all we are to God, but we say, "And I will follow you." We make him the authority over our lives. When we look in Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus, this teacher, and it was customary for a teacher to call followers, those who would be his students, his disciples, those who would learn from his ways. We see in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus called his first followers. Beginning in verse 18, it says, "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father. His name was Zebedee. They were preparing their nets, and he called to them, 'Come.' And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind." Jesus talked about this element of surrender at other times as well. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 25, Jesus talks about the idea of surrendering our all to him. In order to follow him, it's going to cost us, it's going to cost you everything. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said, then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed?" Jesus gave us a picture of surrender in the image of taking up the cross. See, the engaged worshiper doesn't just surrender in a worship service, but an engaged worshiper surrenders in the everyday. How can you incorporate surrender into the things you do every day? I'll give you an easy example. When you roll out of bed and begin your day, now, you've probably heard me talk before about beginning the day with gratitude. It certainly helps to begin with gratitude. But when you roll out of bed and begin your day, surrender your day to the Lord. Say something like, God, I'm yours. I surrender to you today. I'm available. Let me be your hands and feet as I interact with others today. See, the engaged worshiper lives a life of surrender. The third element I want you to see is the element of obedience. We've got the element of praise, the element of surrender, and now, third, the element of obedience. Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, obey my commands. So, what commands? Do you mean the Ten Commandments? Well, yes and no. That's another message for another time, I'm sure. But Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments or the law for us in Matthew chapter 22. Beginning in verse 35, it says, one of them, that is one of the Pharisees, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So, to live a life of worship, we need to incorporate obedience into our everyday life. We do this by loving God and loving people. By the way, if you want to experience something more out of loving people, you don't get to pick and choose which people you love. It's not just love people who look or think or believe or act or practice just like you. To obey Jesus is to love people, all people. Masked or unmasked, vaccinated or unvaccinated, right, left, middle, all people. Obedience to Jesus' commands is one element that I think hangs over our head like a storm cloud. And I don't want you to confuse obeying God with keeping the rules. Many of us seem to think that our obedience to God is wrapped up in behavior modification. We think if we just keep all the rules and do all the right things and don't get in trouble and look nice in front of all the authority figures in our lives, then it's all good. And if all that is true, then I must have a good relationship with God. But no. People who are far from God can keep all the rules. People who are far from God can say all the right things. Obedience is about a heart that beats to please him and to be about what he is about. One of my favorite pastors and authors, a guy from Atlanta named Louis Giglio, says that Jesus didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people live. And I get a little bit emotional when I think about that, because so many of us get stuck under this storm cloud of just trying to be good, just trying to be accepted. And I say it over and over and over and over again. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you have done that makes him love you less. It's not your behavior that sets you apart. It's not your behavior that makes you right with God. It's not what you can do. It's what he has already done. He didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people, people who are dead in our trespasses, dead in our sin. He died to make dead people live, to give us life, life abundant and full and free, a rich and satisfying life. The engaged worshiper doesn't just keep all the rules and try to keep their angel halo shiny. They do that to try to look good in front of all the other fakers. The engaged worshiper obeys and looks for opportunities to obey in the everyday. Think about it. How can you begin to incorporate obedience into your everyday? This is something that you're going to have to choose for yourself, to choose to obey his command, to love God and love people, and not just the people like you, but all people, and to show that love in practical ways. How can you begin to incorporate obedience into your everyday? The fourth element I want you to see is this element of pursuit. And it's really the element of pursuing the presence of God. Ultimately, the presence of God is what eternity is about. It's about being in the very presence of Almighty God for all of eternity. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 25 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says." Stop right there for a moment. Don't just listen to God's word. Don't just listen to Jesus say, "Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." Don't just listen. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Verse 23, "For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for it." I love if-then statements. If you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The context of this passage of James is that of being doers of the word, not just hearers. It's that the word of God would take root in our hearts as we pursue a deeper relationship with him, as we look intently into his word and continue to seek him. Then we do or act on what we find as we seek him. James says, you will be blessed. There's a blessing that comes from pursuing God with your whole heart. The engaged worshiper doesn't just pursue God at church on Sundays. The engaged worshiper pursues God in the everyday. So how can you incorporate pursuing the presence of God into your everyday? Now, sure, you could take time and get away. You could observe the beauty of God in his creation. But listen, you can't necessarily do that every day. Every day is not an opportunity to go on a hike in the mountains. Every day is not an opportunity to stand on the shore and enjoy the crashing of the waves. But you can enjoy the presence of God every day. Because the presence of God isn't just somewhere out there on a retreat or in the woods, and it isn't just in this building or other buildings like it. The presence of God is in you and with you and is readily available for you to seek and find and enjoy. And when you figure this out, it will revolutionize your worship experience. So, how do you receive these elements of worship that I'm sharing? The elements of praise and surrender and obedience and pursuit. Ask yourself, is it just information? Or are you interested in experiencing a life of worship that is fulfilling? If your worship experience has ever been less than satisfying, or has left you wishing for something more, I hope you'll join us again next week. I'm going to give you some practical application for experiencing something more when it comes to worship. Until then, I want you to take this with you. The engaged worshiper incorporates the elements of praise surrender, obedience, and pursuit into the everyday, so that as we go about our lives, we are living lives of worship. As we close here in a moment, our band is going to come back out, and we're going to sing another song of worship together. And I want to invite you to examine your heart and ask yourself, what do I get out of worship? Could it be that my worship experience is a little stale, because the only time I worship God is when someone tells me to in a place like this and with music? I want to encourage you as we sing to confess that as complacency. To commit, as James says, to pursue the Father by looking intently in His Word, continuing to do so, doing what you find there by loving God and loving people. And James tells us, you will be blessed. The engaged worshiper pursues God in the everyday. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for example after example after example in your word of these elements of a life of worship. Father, I pray that we would not be satisfied just showing up at a building or turning on the live stream for an hour on Sunday, but that you would inspire us through your word, Heavenly Father, to live a life of praise in the situations in which we find ourselves, that we would praise you. In the situations that we find ourselves, Lord, we would surrender to you and your will for our lives, that we would obey you by keeping true to your command to love God and love people no matter who, and that we would pursue you, pursue your presence, not just on Sunday morning, not just when someone sings a song, but in everything that we do. May our lives be lives of worship, lives of praise and surrender and obedience and pursuit. And just as James says, when we do what we read in your word, we will be blessed. And I thank you for that blessing. God, I thank you for the life that you offer us through your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks again for joining us this morning at Next Level Church Online. We're so glad that you have spent time with us today, and my sincere prayer is that you can walk away from this service today with a grip on truth, that your life of worship can be impacted and blessed by living a life of praise and surrender and obedience and pursuit. If you enjoyed the service today, I want to invite you to like and share the service. We would certainly appreciate it if you would click on the Give button on our website to support the ministries here at Next Level Church. That will keep us strong and enable us to continue to live out our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. As we go, I just want to say over you Aaron's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and give you peace in the good and strong name of Jesus. Amen.